I am the world's clumsiest man. I was walking down the steps of my house to record this video, saw a kookaburra, got distracted, and almost face planted right in my flower garden. So, hope you did. This is what happens, I think, when you get diagnosed with ADHD. Some of the symptoms seem to get worse. Anyway, hope you are doing well. I had a question the other day, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, from my friend Eliza, who wanted to know how I got into coaching largely women in the first place, or why I have such a focus on helping women in my businesses. Now, to give you a bit of context, so I currently run the Pageant Project, which is focused on beauty pageants, which is predominantly, I would say, 99% female. Prior to that, I was tennis coaching. I was a tennis coach and I was a head coach at an all-girls school here in Sydney. Did that for a period of a few years. I was coaching tennis for probably close to 10 years, but I was a head coach there for a few years. And then prior to that, I was just general coaching. I was tutoring and doing things like that. I wouldn't say those businesses were female-centric. That was more balanced. But then I used to run the Fear to Freedom Project, which was called a personal development / mental health brand. I did publish, or my first book that I published was called From Fear to Freedom. And that was a book that did contain the stories of 10 women who had gone through and survived extremely difficult and traumatic times. I remember one story, a couple of stories I remember. One in particular was in South Africa, where a woman with a partner at the time, he pulled a gun on her and fired right at her head, and he just happened to miss, but she could feel the bullet going past her ear and embedding itself in the drywall behind her. She describes that as a moment that she thought she had died. That's a moment, that's a phrase that will stick with you for the rest of your life. And then, oh hello, there's my friend the dog. Hi, he's my friend. I have no idea if that's a male or female, but every time I go past, I get a tail wagging. Hello. Do you ever see other people's pets and just wish you could take them for a walk? I mean, at least the dog. I'm not going to take someone's cat for a walk. Anyway, getting distracted. So she was trying to escape from her partner at the time, and he had beaten her to the point of unconsciousness, basically. And she woke up, decided she needed to get away. Problem was, he had locked the front door, and they lived, I think, on the second floor. I don't think it was third or second floor, not on the ground floor. And she realized that the only way she could get away was by jumping off the balcony. She just knew she needed to get away. She was afraid for her life, something that most men won't be able to appreciate in a domestic situation, being fearful for your very life. And she jumped off, and as she jumped down, she actually broke her wrist. And she dropped something, she went to pick it up, and she couldn't. She physically couldn't pick it up, and she couldn't work out why at the moment. Later, she found out it's because she had broken her wrist. And you obviously shatter some bones, certain things don't work anymore. And anyway, she started running away. And the only reason she got away, because her partner at the time jumped off after her to chase her, he jumped off the balcony and ended up breaking his ankle. So thankfully he couldn't chase her. But she was running away. She was covered in blood because her partner had beaten her that badly. She managed to stop a car, but the car took one look at her, you know, hysterical, bleeding face, and then just took off again. And so those stories from my first book, really, I can still remember quite a few of them to this day. But back to the reason why, I guess let me first talk about what I think the differences are, some of the differences are between coaching men and women. And I've coached both. Obviously, as I said, I've largely focused on females probably for the last decade or a little bit more, but certainly I've coached a lot of men in my time as well, in all those fields apart from pageantry. I think there's a different skill set. I'm not going to say one is easier, one is harder, and I'm certainly not going to stand here and tell you one is more needed or one is more valid than the other. In fact, in terms of something like mental health, I think the script has flipped somewhat to the point where women are more willing to discuss their mental health issues, and because of that, at least in some part, there are more resources available, and there is more public awareness, at least here in Australia. But for men, for example, it's still pretty taboo to talk about, and even if that taboo is kind of self-imposed, there's still this reluctance on the part of a lot of men, myself included, to discuss anything emotional, anything that makes them uncomfortable. And so I actually think there needs to be a lot more material and content created around men's mental health, but done in a way that it's not a manly way, but a masculine way. I mean, men aren't, I don't need to tell you this, but men aren't as willing to talk and share about their emotions as women are in general. And even if they wanted to, very often they don't have the verbal intelligence and accuracy to do that. You know, you ask a guy when he comes home from work, or how was your day, honey? He'd be like, oh, fine. Ask a woman the same thing. And in general, you know, you get a whole, you get the 5, 10, 15 minute deluge. So there is that difference there. But in terms of the main things that are different, I think working with women is more nuanced. It is more of, you need to put your detective's hat on and unravel the puzzle. From my experience working with men, that certainly sometimes can be the case. So we have this saying that the presenting problem is never the actual problem. But let me give you an example to make it a bit clearer. So I was working with an artist, a female artist, who had brought me on to help with her business. And I worked with her, came up with a business idea, it worked really, really well. But at one point I went to visit her at her studio, and she was expressing some frustration in not getting as far as she would have liked to, as quickly as she would have liked to. And so there were some, she was struggling with her business, basically, and I was trying to help her with that. But when you discuss things with women, and again, this is in general, but when you discuss things, they will tell you what's bothering them at the surface. So for example, I'm frustrated this week, I didn't get to do as much as I would have liked, or I didn't get to, you know, cross these things off my to-do list, or I had all these plans and then I wasn't able to follow through on them. And so, okay, why weren't you able to follow through on them? Okay, so some unexpected things came up, and I had a situation at home that I needed to take care of with my husband. And so, okay, is your husband all right? Yeah, it's just, and this obviously comes when you have good rapport. It's like, yeah, he's out of work at the moment, and he's struggling, he's feeling a bit depressed, feeling a bit down, because he doesn't feel like he knows what to do, and he's just kind of sitting on the couch all day, and, you know, we had a bit of a disagreement, so I wasn't really in the headspace to create art. Now, if you're following along with this, and you have any human empathy whatsoever, you can see that the issue here is not a business issue. It's got nothing to do with the art business. It's the personal issue at home. And again, we have another saying, like, if you're not happy in your intimate relationship, you're not happy. It doesn't matter what else is going on. And so the point with that is that, okay, it started as, with my female client, started as a business issue, turned out to be an issue with her relationship. Then I ended up having the both of them. We all went out to dinner. Ended up having like an hour or two sort of impromptu coaching session, trying to help them, you know, see eye to eye and develop a plan for what to do. So it's not just talking about it, but it's like, okay, here's a problem, but what can we do about it? So that was from the women's side. And, you know, you need, as I said, you need to be a bit more of a detective. Now, I had a separate conversation with the husband, and the husband very much is like, he tells you up front, it's like, yeah, I've, you know, lost my job, lost my way, don't know what to do, and I'm scared that, you know, I have to start all over again. I think he was a tradesman, I think he might have been a plumber or an electrician. And he was living not in the middle of Sydney, he was living more up the coast where there's not as many people. And so he had, you know, well-founded concerns that his job, he would find it difficult to start all over. I think he'd been let go from a small business or something like that. But also he had other interests that he was wanting to pursue. I think he wanted to be a musician. I mean, it's a typical one, right? Middle-aged man wants to become a musician. But he knew that he wanted to pursue that, but there probably wouldn't be any money in that. And so he was worried that he didn't want his wife, my client also, to be the one bringing the money and him just sort of slumming it along at home. And he got himself to the point where he was just watching TV the whole day. But my point with that is, yes, that's a problem. Yes, it's equally as valid as a problem, and a problem that I need to go into solve.
Got my little cat friend here. Another pen. Hello. Look. Yes. Hey. Hello.
Was I talking about getting distracted by other cats? By the way, that cat's an Abyssinian, which is the same breed as one of my cats who recently passed away, but they're magnificent creatures. They're like Sphinx and that. I think that's a male, it's so muscular. But back to my story. So both the clients, wife and husband, man and woman, the women's issue is more nuanced. It needs you to dig in a little bit and ask, why? Why? Tell me more. Or I heard you say that. Tell me more about that. I'm curious. And you really need to listen, because women will drop hints, and there are certain hints that are more important than others. And this comes with experience. You'll be listening, and go, hang on, you just said this, or you just said that. And in this case, you know, when I heard about the issue with the husband, I immediately clued onto that, because I knew that was going to be a huge issue. So the man kind of tells you straight up front, if he trusts you anyway, and you do need to building rapport is important with any coaching work, man or woman. But when the man trusts you, he'll kind of tell you, oh yeah, up front, I'll tell you what the problem is, and they just tell you, and then you have to go to work on it. And you'll see this if you ever see videos where men are discussing mental health. And by the way, saw this really, really fascinating video about an organization here in Australia. I can't remember, it's something to do with sheds or building sheds. And they discovered that men, if you bring men together in the same way you bring women together and just say, hey, talk about your feelings, it doesn't work so well. What they did was bring all these men into a shed, like a tool shed. One of them would present a problem like, oh, my lawnmower has stopped working. And then all these men would get together and start helping one another to fix the problem. And as they're working on something, they're standing side by side. They're not like facing each other. As they're standing there working, as they're standing there doing something, they then start opening up about their feelings. And so that's a very different way that men work, prefer to work. And again, generalizing, but it's a different way men prefer to work to most women. So that's some of the differences, or one of the main differences for me anyway, is that nuance, needing to be a detective. And when it comes to me, I've been recently diagnosed with ADHD. Also, I don't know if this is actually part of the disorder, but I've always liked to do my own thing. So I'm one of those people, if you tell me to do one thing, I'm probably going to do something completely opposite just to be different. So to give you an example of that, pretty much everyone in my family is a doctor. My father, my mother, my brother, all doctors. Now, I did very well at school. Got the marks to get into medicine, which, by the way, you need to be in the top 1%, so it's not easy. Then I decided to do aeronautical engineering, which had an entrance mark of 65 as opposed to 99 for medicine. And I did that because I didn't want to do medicine, because that's what everyone else was doing, but also, hey, I thought I liked planes. But I think if I had known back then about the ADHD thing, I think I would have had a bit more of an inkling as to why that was the case, and maybe, I don't know, maybe my life would have turned out differently. But I've always been someone who prefers to take on a challenge or do something that most people think can't be done. Just as it's like, I like taking on a challenge. And so man working with a man probably doesn't take as much learning in terms of, you obviously have to learn, don't get me wrong. But if a man is teaching a man, obviously you understand something about being a man, because you yourself are a man. But a man coaching a woman, that's a bit of a different proposition. Or a woman coaching a man, also a bit of a different proposition. And so part of that is needing to learn how the opposite sex works. You know, how do they think? How do they feel? And how do they do that differently? How do they operate differently to a man? And so I saw that as a challenge. And also, you know, me growing up, private school, very not sheltered, but you know, had to keep the nose to the grindstone, really focus on academics. Anything else was a distraction. Typical Asian story, I think. And certainly girls, I mean, art and sport weren't in the picture, and girls certainly were not. And so, you know, I went to a single sex school and all boys school, And then, you know, when I got to university, suddenly there are these amazing creatures, amazingly weird and wonderful creatures called women, suddenly around everywhere. And me having no experience with them, part of me goes, you know what? I want to understand how women work so that I can talk to them. It's like that old movie, was it What Women Want? It was a really, really old movie. I think it had Helen Hunt in it and, I don't know, Paul someone. But anyways, so partly it was, yes, I want to actually understand how women work so I can, you know, have a friendship with them, maybe have a relationship with them. And then part of it was, it's a challenge. It's different. And I like different. I think the final missing piece was that need, as I've already said, to be more of a detective when it comes to coaching women. Being able to work out which pieces are really important to focus on and maybe which pieces are more the surface issues that are almost like a trap or a disguise for what's really lurking beneath the surface. I think that really appealed to the way my brain works. And, you know, maybe again, that's an ADHD thing. But I became really addicted to, I don't know if this is the best way to put it, but solving the puzzle. I sort of saw everyone who was coming to me as, I can help this person. And if I do my job right, I can help them in one session. It's not going to take 10 years of therapy. I took a lot of pride and still do take a lot of pride in, you come to me one session, we'll find the issue and we'll put a plan in place to take care of it, which is why I don't need to see my clients again and again and again, unless they want to, unless they want to catch up and brush up. But I don't like this whole, yeah, come and see me for half an hour every week and maybe at some point we'll solve the issue. I do not like that business model, that therapy model at all. The skills that it takes to work with women seem to align very well with the way that my brain works. I don't take credit for that last part, and maybe ADHD explains that to some extent. I was again talking to Eliza and she said that actually people with ADHD can have extremely high emotional intelligence. I looked at the research and it's a bit divided, but one theory is that they have extremely high emotional intelligence because basically they can't filter anything out, so they notice everything. And, you know, when you are working with people, you'll see, I, for example, had a tutoring client, a young female. I mean, I was young back then too, just out of school. I think she was finishing up school and she was coming to see me for maths. And, you know, I got to know her pretty well. One time she turned up to my place and she sat down and I could just tell something wasn't right. I could just tell in some way she was flustered. Now, she hadn't mentioned anything at all. You know, typical that the way that women take on the whole world and then they don't want to tell you anything about it because they don't want to be an imposition on you. But I just thought, and her name was Kate. I said, Kate, is everything all right? You seem a bit flustered. And then I remember she was quite startled when I said that because she hadn't mentioned anything, as I said. And then as it turns out, she told me the story. On the drive to my place, she'd almost been run off the road by a semi-trailer. I mean, she was a P-plater or a learner driver at the time, so maybe it was her fault, but still, it's obviously a pretty terrifying experience when, you know, near-death experience. And so that's a skill that I've always had, not one that I really worked on. And again, it just might be the ADHD brain, but noticing little clues, little signals, non-verbal signals. One of the things that I do like to do is people watch. You know, I'll just go to a cafe and other people, like by myself, and other people might think that's incredibly boring or whatsoever. But I love every now and then just watching people, especially people, for example, having a discussion, and you just try to work out what they're talking about, how they're feeling, or if two people on a date, like getting to see, are these two actually getting along? Or can you see one of them is already planning their exit? And so, you know, to wrap it up, that's kind of how I arrived at focusing on women so much with my coaching. Part of it is just the way my brain works. Part of it is just sheer luck. And I guess the other part of it is just wanting to be different. As I said, a man coaching a man, no big deal. But a man coaching a woman, it's immediately a talking point. Like, why are you doing this? And I will say that I do think that going to a coach who has a different perspective, who can bring a different perspective to you, that's almost, well, that is definitely one of the most important things that you should be paying a coach for, is literally just a different perspective. But if you're in a female heavy industry, for example, like pageantry, I think it can be doubly as useful to have a man's perspective, a male's perspective. I mean, also when it comes to coaching, I've been in business for a long time and things like that. And so I bring in all those other perspective and all that other experience as well. Again, ADHD brain. But, you know, if you're trying to see your blind spots so they don't bite you in the butt, it's not very helpful to be coached by someone who has the exact same blind spots that you do. It'd be much more helpful to go to someone who has completely different blind spots or a completely different perspective. And again, these are all generalizations, but I will say, for example, from my time in pageant coaching, one of the recurring themes is that my coaching, what we cover in my coaching sessions, is radically different from what most other pageant coaches cover. So where they might be talking more about fashion and color and, you know, being sassy on the stage and all this sort of stuff, all stuff that I have no idea about, because hello man, I talk more about things like building a brand, or why are you doing this, or what's your strategy behind this, or how to differentiate yourself from your competition. And it's all stuff that, yeah, partly comes from my experience as an entrepreneur, solopreneur, sure, and having lots of failings and general life experience, but some part of that comes from being a man. And can I leave you with this thought? I hate the title of the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I have that book at home. My dad bought it. I don't know why. I have not read it. And I don't read it. I don't want to read it because I think the supposition behind that title is absolutely stupid. So if you're a man watching this and you're one of those ones who say, oh, women are crazy, can't figure them out. And if you're one of those women who says, all, you know, men are the source of all the problems in the world and all men are toxic, etc., etc., what are the chances of you ever having a fulfilling relationship? If you want one, and I think most people do, if you're honest, but what are the chances of you having a fulfilling relationship with a member of the opposite sex, if that's your proclivity? It's close to zero. Because you inherently think, if you're a man, that all women are crazy and that you'll never understand them. And that if you're a woman, the other way around, you just think all men are the problem, or they're all stupid, or they can't be trusted. And you're going to live, like you're very, in a real, very real way, going to create that reality. And so don't buy into that fallacy. Men are not difficult to understand. I don't think women are that difficult to understand. I do think it takes a different skill set. And yes, as I've already said, I think working with women is more nuanced. But those are skills that I needed to learn as well. I mean, you get better with practice at any skill. And, you know, if you needed to practice listening, would that really be such a bad thing?